Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, podcaster Fionnuala Jones and John McGuire, film critic with the Sunday Business Post, are here to give us the definitive watch list for the week ahead. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Brendan.
John, Mission Impossible, finally reckoning the big movie this week. The last one, we're told, is
Tom
Cruise.
This is what they're saying. Well, how impossible can any mission be, Brendan, if Tom Cruise, at 62 years of age, can successfully complete it 8 times? This is the 8th one in this multi-billion dollar spy action franchise. It goes out with a bang, people will be pleased to hear. And far from running out of steam, the Mission Impossibles have actually gotten better as they've gone on, which is very unusual for American franchise cinema.
Yeah, okay.
And particularly since the writer and director Christopher McQuarrie joined the team. Cruise is the last action movie star. He's the last movie star. He does all this work himself, practical stunts, at 62 years of age. What makes him the great action movie star is not how he plays the character or how he performs, how he acts or any of that. It's why. You're asking yourself, why are you hanging off the side of a plane, Tom Cruise, 12,000 feet over the South African desert? Why are you, jumping off the Burj Khalifa? And that's what's fascinating.
And he's doing it
Cruise.
All himself still.
Well, yes, of course. Now, we don't see all the harnesses and all that.
We just see
the result. But it's him. There is no way CGI can give you that cheek flap when you're falling out of a biplane over the set.
Okay, so for a bit of an art house snob like yourself,
unfortunately, the last great blockbuster. It's the stunt work where most of the imagination is expended here. The story... He's entitled Tom Cruise to look back at his own legacy, and he does that generously now in the first hour of this film. It runs nearly 3 hours. The middle act is just plot, and the last act is a very, very
As a 62-year-old man, Tom Cruise should know that 3 hours is a long time for men of a certain age to spend in the cinema.
But this opens next Friday. People are going to want to see it, and they're going to be entertained. He is determined to save summer cinema. Absolutely,
Fionnuala. Murderbot is a new sci-fi series on Apple TV Plus. It's the kind of thing they do well mostly.
I was like, sign me up, Alexander Skarsgård, I'll watch him cross the road. And then I was like, oh, it's actually a comedy. It's kind of taking the mick out of the Star Treks and the Star Wars and stuff. As you said, he is this kind of sentient half human, half robot, and he's able to override basically the chip that means he's given himself free will again.
Yeah.
But he's gone undercover on this new mission and is trying to like navigate that, avoid suspicion. He's put on this new mission, but he can't remember exactly why.
You got further into this than I did.
No, I won't be going any further with it because this is not funny enough to describe itself as a comedy. Because I was like, oh, comedy, yes, brilliant. And he was so funny in Succession, like he'll be able to pull this off. I was kind of like, where are the jokes?
Okay.
Where are the jokes?
Don't bother. John, Hallow Road in cinemas. Yeah. So this is a folk horror shot in Ireland. There's a real folk horror scene developing in Ireland, isn't there?
Lots of spooky stories in Irish mythology and folklore, Brendan. This taps into a bit of that. It's shot here. It's not set here, essentially. It's set somewhere in, let's say, the British and Irish Islands, I suppose. This is the British-Iranian director, Babak Hanvari. People might remember a film that he made a few years ago called Under the Shadows, his superb debut. This does a lot with very little. It's basically two people in a car, Rosamund Pike and Matthew Rhys, husband and wife, parents of a daughter who's knocked somebody down on the road in the middle of the night. They get a call and they immediately go to the scene. She's a former paramedic, so she's given her advice over the phone. This is the first hour of the film. Is that kind of tension? What has happened and how are we going to tell a lie, basically, to the authorities so that our daughter doesn't get into trouble? Yeah. A moral quandary. And then about halfway through, everything changes and you get this creepy, weird folk horror adjacent kind of almost like a fairy, dark fairy tale. I'm not going to say anything else about it, but it is remarkably spare. The economy here is incredible. There's literally nothing else to the film. Mostly takes place over the phone and it's a very impressively controlled. Absolutely. Okay. Superb performances from Pike and Rhys. Two excellent actors.
In cinemas now. Fionnuala, Forever on Netflix. So this is based on a Judy Blume novel, but with liberties taken.
Yes, I love watched this, and it's just been renewed for season two, as you said. And like, if I could recommend one thing, it has to be this. As you said, it's an adaptation of the 1975 novel of the same name by Judy Blume. I'm not super familiar with that book. I will say people who I've spoken to who are more familiar with the book didn't love it, because you said it does take liberties. Some people saying they would have preferred if it was just a standalone story, but I loved it. Chemistry is incredible between the two leads. Set in late 2010s Los Angeles, they're black teenagers from different side of the tracks. They find each other at a New Year's Eve party and they fall in love.
If you'd like, YA or
yes, YA.
Adults get it, like
adults would get it, yeah. But I spoke to some adults who have children, and they were kind of like watching from behind their hands, because they were like, "I just want to intervene and help these children."
An anxiety watch.
But if you've kind of a normal people shaped hole in your life, okay, I think this will fill it. It's
great.
Really, really good.
Forever on Netflix. Is that there now? John, also on Netflix. Tell us about Sirens, which is out on Friday. I see this is about women, power and class.
Power and class. That's it. This is a very starry
Go girls.
It's a class war comedy, I suppose. And the stars are out for this one. This has it's created by Molly Smith-Messler. It's based on a play that she wrote in 2011. It unfolds over a summer weekend in a luxurious mansion compound in Martha's Vineyard. And it has the working class tearaway Devon, played by Megan Fahey from The White Lotus. She goes to visit her sister Simone, played by Millie Alcock, who is now working as an assistant to an eccentric billionaire named Michaela, played by Julianne Moore, and her husband Kevin Bacon. It's basically, how do the 1%, the 1% of the 1%, how do they live?
It's a bit so White Lotus like, but there is certain element,
absolutely,
it,
like, and like you say, Brendan, not to disparage it, but it's there's a creepy and a dysfunctional relationship that this older sister discovers has developed between her younger sister and her employees. 5 hour long episodes, lots of potential for it. I've watched one of them and I'd watch another one, and it's available on Netflix from the 23rd of May.
Okay, that's Sirens. Finula, Molly May behind it all, part two. We don't need to waste too much time on this. It's just dropped on Prime. So this is the eagerly awaited part two. Are she and Tommy back together now?
So the first three episodes, I think, dropped earlier this year or towards the end of last year. And these are the remaining three episodes. And when the first three episodes came out, people were saying there's no juice in this. I mean, if you're interested in her and the business, then fair enough. But everyone was watching because of the interest surrounding her personal life. Obviously, the two of them having fallen in love on reality TV, Love Island, and now kind of documenting this relationship or lack thereof on this new reality show. There's a little bit more juice in these last three episodes, but again, if you're not a Molly fan,
okay,
I don't. It's so, you're not going to give anything for it.
So the people who know,
the people who need to know.
Yeah, grand.
Okay. Video, if you
John,
want to
tell us about The Marching Band. So this was a small French film that became a kind of a phenomenon then in France.
Yeah, this outsold Wicked at the French box office, for instance. This is a very charming and a heartbreaking musical drama, like you say, a box office sensation in France. It's written and directed by a guy called Emmanuel Coquerel. And it's the story of two brothers, long separated biological brothers who form a bond through music. One of them is an acclaimed Parisian symphony conductor. He's played by Benjamin Laverne. And he's been diagnosed with leukemia late in life, in his late 30s. And he's in search of a bone marrow donor. He discovers that his only living relative is a fella called Jimmy Pierre Lotan, who lives in a village in the north, the very unfashionable northern industrial northern France. So he goes up to see him and he discovers that the brother plays the trombone in a scrappy town band associated with the local factory, which is just about to close. So you have this kind of, again, another clash of culture, a class clash of this guy living a highfalutin life who suddenly finds himself in the weeds with the ordinary people of France at the worst time in his life. And they form the bond over music, and I'm not going to say where the film goes from there, but how Coquerel handles the relationship between the two of them is beautiful. But it's the actual drama of the drama that's very, very affecting, okay, and beautifully observed, and very sensitive, I suppose, is what you'd say. The Marching Band, you're not going to see it. Mission Impossible is going to drown everything else out.
Yeah, okay.
But there are things out there
and
if you go looking for
selected
it.
Selected cinemas,
selected cinemas
from
nationwide.
Friday?
Yeah. I think it's actually open now. Yeah, I think it opened on Friday.
Finula, The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, is back on Disney Plus for a second season. Is this about women, power and class as well?
Wow, that's a big question that I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer. But yeah, this is the second season. I think I actually talked about the first season on a previous watch list.
Enthusiastically,
on Disney
Plus.
Yeah, it was. This is a show within a show within a show. And like, you know me, I'll watch any old reality TV slap. And this came out and I was like, I don't know about this. This second season, they are firing on all cylinders. It basically follows the like interpersonal drama between this group of Mormon influencers. They're constantly all getting with each other and their husbands. They will do anything to make a buck. The hypocrisy within like the religion and what they do, like they're going on dates to ketamine sessions, but they won't drink caffeine. Bonkers. Perfect.
Oh my God.
Show.
Okay.
10 out of 10. Okay.
Everyone
needs to watch it.
I know what all those words are, Brenda, but I don't know how Fionnuala just put them together.
There's a series one as well for us to gorge on before we... Okay.
Just stay inside all day and watch them. It's mental.
John, the Fountain of Youth on Apple TV. Oh, yeah, okay. So it's made by Guy Ritchie and it stars Donald Gleeson, which sounds very promising.
It does. This is the prolific Guy Ritchie, who should maybe be a little less prolific. This is his third film in 2 years. On top of shows like The Gentleman for Netflix, which is very good.
Oh, really good. Love
The Diamond Heist, which is a super little crime documentary. This is The Fountain of Youth. It's a kind of a mashup of Indiana Jones and The Da Vinci Code, and it has John Krasinski and Natalie Portman play estranged siblings. They're treasure hunters who take a job looking for the mythical Fountain of Youth for a billionaire played by Donald Gleeson, who's dying of liver cancer. And the story is junk, Brendan. It's just pure rubbish. The visual effects work for, you know, for a contemporary film is the usual kind of slop as well. But the practical stunts are very impressive. And just like Tom Cruise, you know, when you're seeing it happen, when you're seeing it done practically, when you know that somebody's taken a bruise for this, it makes a huge difference. And I suppose that's probably the best thing, but the rest of it is pretty average stuff. And it's designed to fill out the landing page on Apple TV, is what it feels like as you're watching it. Very plastic.
Yeah. My secret shame is I'm definitely giving that a go. Yeah.
It's like
terrible. Before we go, you want to mention that Belfast, Kenneth Branagh's Oscar-winning film, it's on RT tonight at 9:30.
Yes, RT One at 9:30. Jamie Dornan.
I wouldn't have thought that'd be edgy enough for you. Now
I loved it. I feel like it was kind of divisive at the time when it came out in 2021. I don't know. I feel like people were maybe not into it. I don't know. I liked it a lot. Jamie Dornan, Katrina Balfe in Belfast in the late 1960s. Huge Oscar buzz around it at the time. Obviously, Ciarán Hinds was nominated and Judi Dench, directed by Kenneth Branagh, as you said. I just found it like a gorgeous love letter.
Anyone
to the
who
place.
Hasn't seen it, absolutely.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
John, really briefly, Stanley Tucci was searching for Italy on CNN a few years ago. I see he's now just Tucci in Italy on Disney.
Yeah, it's really weird how they cut him from CNN. This was a hugely popular show, Searching for Italy. He's basically the actor turned gourmand, turned tour guide, running around Italy, meeting people, eating food, plates of pasta, yum yum. It's pure television.
And but he's dressed so well. He's so charming.
Stylish. He's so charming, exactly.
He charms everybody. Everything, he meets. Absolutely.
They love him. And
yeah.
I love him too. I love watching him do it, and you know. They dropped him and now he's back and it's great to see him. Tucci in Italy. He goes to all the places you'd expect him to go, Tuscany, Lombardy, etc., etc. He's up in the mountainous Trentino for polenta and skiing, the rural Abruzzo for mutton stew and sweet confetti, and then back into Lazio for pizza and porchetta.
Why wouldn't you want to pack your bags?
You just want to follow him around.
Stanley Tucci could just parade around in one of his nice fitted suits and we'd all watch him.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Lovely.
Fionnuala Jones and John McGuire, thank you both very much, and that's all we have time for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's show was produced by the series producer Tessa Delahanty. Research was by Jen Gannon. Senan Cullinan was the broadcast coordinator and Jamie Doyle was on sound. Stay tuned for This Week with Justin McCarthy. But I'm going to hand over to you now, Fionnuala, to pick a song for us because you are a woman on a mission.
What an honour, yeah. I think The Corrs' Summer Sunshine needs to be the song of the summer. Came out in 2004. Didn't even get into the top 10 here when it was released. I mean, play this and I think we can manifest the good weather to stay for, I don't know, days, weeks on end. It's what we need.
Okay, let's take your campaign to the next level. Here it is.